We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This hour of WEI Late Night with Tyler Devitt is brought to you by Feldman Land Surveyors. At Feldman, they get it right from the ground up.
This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI. Let's get it going. This is Late Night right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
That's right. This is WEEI Late Night. My name is Tyler Devitt. I'm the executive producer for Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier, which really that show may only have in its current existence really about a month left of shows, as, of course, you know, Glenn Ordway has announced his retirement, a much-deserved one, and I'm so happy that Glenn got to do it his way, because it's not often that actually happens in the radio industry. It's not often that people even get goodbye shows or to make the announcement the way they want to do it. So I'm happy for my guy Glenn, who we don't have an official ending date in terms of his everyday duties on OMF, but probably sometime in August, mid-August. I know he wants to be involved with the Jimmy Fund radio telethon, which will be August 24th. I believe that is, let's see here, that is a Tuesday, and the 25th of Wednesday. So that's coming up in just over a month. And Glenn's been a major, major part of the Jimmy Fund for a while. Of course, he is a cancer survivor. Shouldn't even say former. He is a cancer survivor. Has beaten this with the help of the great people at the Dana-Farber and Brigham and Women's Cancer Center. He's been a huge advocate of what they do. So happy for Glenn in terms of his announcement, and happy that he can also still be a part of the station in a smaller role in terms of the Patriots postgame and the upcoming Jimmy Fund, August 24th and 25th. Glenn, of course, is a big basketball guy. He'll tell you about ball movement, and he loves talking about Kyrie Irving and the Brooklyn Nets and the Sixers and what they have to do, and, of course, what happens here in Boston, and Boston's biggest star, I think, in sports right now, in the face of Boston sports, is Jason Tatum. He doesn't have the personality to kind of make him as lovable as a guy like Cam Newton. Cam Newton has the personality. He exudes it. He will be a coach somewhere in college or the NFL soon after he retires, because people just gravitate to him, respect him, and love what he says. Tatum's not there yet. He doesn't really have that personality, but he has the absolute game to be one of the best in the game, a top five, top 10 player for half dozen, you know, years or a decade. Tatum is an absolute superstar. But the problem with Tatum is that he doesn't have another superstar on his level to play alongside him. And of course, you could say Jaylen Brown might get there, and he might. I'll entertain that conversation that Jaylen Brown hasn't maxed out yet, that Jaylen Brown can be on Jason Tatum's level where he currently is as a fringe all-NBA guy. Tatum right at like 15, 16, depending upon who you ask. Right now, Brown's probably a top 30, 35 player. So it's been a tumultuous offseason for the Boston Celtics, and this was actually the first question, I believe, to Jason Tatum, where he's talking about just, we haven't talked to you since they've made all these moves. You got a new head coach. You have Brad Stevens moving from head coach to the president of basketball operations. Jason Tatum, what'd you make of the offseason changes?
Yeah, it was a lot at first with all the changes, especially with, you know, the coaches in front office, but change is good. Sometimes, you know, I'm excited about our new coach, Ime. You know, obviously, you know, Kimber, that's my man. You know, you hate to see one of your, you know, close guys go. But, you know, I wish nothing but the best for him. You know, wherever he goes, you know, happy to have Al back. He looks better in green anyway. And yeah, I'm excited to be here. This is a great opportunity. I think playing in the Olympics is something I always dreamed about. So I'm looking forward to it. And just playing with a group of guys that you always compete against, I think that's what is the most fun part, just, you know, being on the same team with these guys.
Yeah, the playing with that group of guys, the key line, because he's playing with 5, 6, 7 all-NBA players. Some guys, of course, didn't choose to go. James Harden, one of them. But it's Kevin Durant, it's Bam Adebayo, it's Bradley Beal, it's Damian Lillard, it's superstar Zach LaVine. It's guys who are in their late 20s, early 30s, even Kevin Love. It's guys who could potentially be on the move in the future because their current situations, like Kevin Love in Cleveland, he's not going to be there next year. Bradley Beal may be out as quick as this summer with the Washington Wizards as he's now entering an expiring season in Washington. Damian Lillard has the most lucrative contract in NBA history, and he may want out after one or two seasons if Chauncey Billups can't get the job done. So there are a lot of unclear futures with Team USA in terms of the star power and the star players that are there, and Jason Tatum certainly has a huge opportunity as a recruiter. That's actually a question I threw towards John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal. I'll have that conversation in about 20 minutes here on WEI Late Night at 11:30 when I talked to John about that, who had a lot of questions to Greg Popovich, Jason Tatum, and their media sessions, and great questions as well, where he's digging into the growth, which Greg Popovich raved about. We'll get to that here in a few minutes, but I want to go back to what Jason Tatum was talking about. He talked about, you know, the big brother, Bradley Beal, KD, Bam, all these guys are in one place, and now he is learning from these Team USA teammates.
Hey, Jason, congratulations. Are there any players on your team that you're looking forward to learning from in this next month?
Obviously, you know, playing with my big brother, two guys from the same neighborhood, same high school, going to the Olympics from St. Louis. That's like a dream. That is amazing. Playing with all these guys like Dame, obviously KD, you know, somebody just played against in the playoffs, getting to play on the same team, K-Love, Trayvon. I go down the list of everybody. I've known Bam since I was middle school. So I'm excited.
Yeah, the Team USA roster is full with a bunch of guys that are right around Tatum's age or guys that he saw, you know, while he was playing in his 1 year at Duke or starring in St. Louis, you know, playing at the same high school that Bradley Beal was playing at. And that was a running theme throughout Tatum's media availability today, the first one since the Celtics have really made all these offseason moves. And the running theme for me was that he is so damn excited to play with Bradley Beal. And we knew this was going to happen. You heard Jeff Goodman on OMF talk about, you know, you'll see the chemistry with Bradley Beal and Jason Tatum. It'll be evident on the court in Tokyo. You'll see it. It'll be in the media sessions. It'll be on the court. There's actual on-the-court chemistry with these two guys, St. Louis boys, Beal and Tatum. And the problem that I had with Celtics fans in reacting to those comments from Jeff Goodman was later on when Goodman said, well, it's actually evident that Brown and Tatum have zero chemistry together. They're not boys. They don't really hang out off the court. They're friends. But on the court, you don't sense any on-court chemistry between Brown and Tatum. And I have to agree with Jeff on that. I don't know how you wouldn't. Where is the evidence that Brown and Tatum make each other better in terms of offensive players, making each other get better shots, helping out their teammates? I really don't get the sense that those two, I mean, they're kind of, I hate the phrase duplicate or they're not really duplicate players. There's not another Jason Tatum out there. There's not another Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown is a better version of Jimmy Butler offensively, and he can have that defensive potential as well. So there's a huge recruiting session that could be had in Tokyo as these guys, these stars, are now together every day, every minute in a foreign country for the next 6 weeks. And another guy who is with them is the Celtics' brand new head coach, Ime Udoka. And Jason Tatum was asked about that hiring, a guy that he has experienced in the 2019 World Cup as a Celtics new head coach, was a assistant on that World Cup team back in 2019. Here's Tatum on Ime Udoka.
Hey, Jason, obviously you got to know Ime a little bit at the World Cup. What stands out about him as a coach? What did you think of him being hired? And you know, what do you think is going to work well with you guys as a partnership?
Yeah, I got to know him a little bit. I think what stands out the most is, you know, I guess when you're coming up as an assistant, and you get your first head coach job, that, you know, you're driven and motivated. And from the conversations that I've had with him since he's, you know, gotten the job, I can tell he's just really, really excited. So, you know, it's going to be fun. And, you know, we're going to try to accomplish something big.
So not a great endorsement from Jason Tatum, but not one that would be alarming or set off any red flags. That's who Tatum is. That's what a good endorsement sounds like from Tatum. He's not going to go crazy over anyone. The only guys that I really hear Tatum go, you know, crazy for, and get super excited were like Earl Watson, who was his guy because he's a St. Louis guy. Bradley Beal is a St. Louis guy. These are guys who either grew up with Tatum, guys he looked up to because they're from the same geographical area, or guys he looked up to in terms of playing, like a Kevin Durant. Last cut here from Jason Tatum. Of course, the running theme that I just mentioned was his love for his big bro, Bradley Beal. And this was a question from Mark Murphy about Beal and Tatum helping each other and making each other grow.
How much have you and Bradley just sort of helped each other grow over the years?
A lot. I think that was the mentor and older brother that, you know, I didn't technically have in the house. And someone that would just, you know, accomplish everything that I was trying to do. And I've seen, you know, how to do it firsthand and what it took from early morning workouts to picking me up every day in the summertime, one and done, Gatorade Player of the Year, top three pick, motivation, honestly, and someone that I've always looked up to and still look up to this day. So we just, you know, want the extreme best for each other, and, you know, just two guys that play at a very high level that are always, you know, pushing each other. You know, when he scores 50 or something, you know, I'm trying to do it, and vice versa. So that's just kind of relationship that we have.
One of the better moments from this Celtics season was, of course, when the Wizards came to town and it was Tatum versus Brad Beal for like 20 or 25 possessions where these guys are guarding each other like it's the NBA Finals, Game 7. You can hear the respect in Tatum's voice he has for Brad Beal, calling him the big brother that I didn't really have. They push each other. When Beal scores 50, Tatum wants to one-up him and score 51. This is an awesome dynamic that these two have, and if Brad Stevens wants to guarantee that Jason Tatum will be in Boston long-term, that move to guarantee it, Brad Stevens, is by moving Jaylen Brown for Bradley Beal. And if you want to do it now, sure, go ahead and pull the trigger. But maybe the better way to actually get Bradley Beal would be to wait this season until he has the expiring contract expire next summer. And he's a free agent because the Horford money is way less. That's coming off the books. Marcus Smart, if you don't give him the extension, maybe he walks and you use that money. The leftover from Smart, from Horford, Evan Fournier would walk. All of those contracts are now off the books. And now you have a slot for a third max player. Third max player could be Bradley Beal, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum. You can have all three of those guys in the same roster without giving up a single trade asset. That's a real, real possibility next summer. But the way you would do that, though, is by essentially punting on this season, because you would be telling your fan base, well, you know, this season's not really the target because we can make our team so much better next year, but we're going to try and win and still kind of be in that same third, fourth, fifth, sixth seed, somewhere in that, you know, a playoff projection, maybe win 50 games and kind of be that cute little team that Gwen Ottaway talks about. So that is the comments of Jason Tatum from the Las Vegas media session with Team USA. John Corrales got a few questions in there. I actually have John Corrales joining me here on the program here in about 12 minutes here on WEI Late Night. I want to go to Bradley Beal, who is Tatum's big bro. And he talked about the relationship that he has with Tatum and how much he's looking forward to the next 6 weeks with his younger brother.
We're both excited. You know, for one, we grew up 5 minutes from each other, and you know, to have two of the same guys from the same high school on the same team is, I don't know if that's ever happened, you know, for USA basketball. And, we're excited about it. You know, even from growing up, we've never been on the same team ever. In pickup, we're never on the same team, you know. So this is definitely exciting for both of us. I'm happy about his growth. I'm excited to see him on a global stage just as well as myself and everybody, man. We have a really good team, but you know, Jason and I have a special relationship, and I'm looking forward to it, man. It'll be exciting. You know, the ultimate thing is getting the goal, whatever that means.
So they are on the world stage going into Tokyo, which I'm not even sure if they're going to have fans at the Tokyo Olympics. I don't think so. I think they're under like a state of emergency right now with COVID. So they're still taking things very seriously across the pond. Thousands of miles across the pond, I should say. And in Tokyo, they're still not allowing fans. They're taking things very serious, and they haven't really gotten to the when this is over part of the COVID recovery phase. So I want to get to Greg Popovich's comments. He was talking about Jason Tatum, and you just heard Bradley Beal talk about being on the world stage. Well, the last time Jason Tatum was on the world stage was in the 2019 World Cup, which he was actually poised to be one of Team USA's leaders, and then had an injury, not a season-ending injury, of course, but a tournament-ending injury. He couldn't perform anymore. I believe that was an ankle sprain, badly sprained it, and it kind of ruined his Team USA experience in terms of actually getting on the court anymore. This was Greg Popovich talking about the 2019 World Cup experience and comparing that to now in terms of the growth with Jason Tatum.
You coached Jason Tatum a couple of years ago with the World Cup team. Now he walks in a little bit of a different player. Can you first explain maybe the differences that you're seeing in him as he walks into camp now as opposed to 2 years ago?
He was we were hugely disappointed when he got hurt. Let me just put it that way. You know, he was going to be our go-to guy, and he was just finding his legs, so to speak, not totally confident, you know, not realizing maybe how good he could really be at both ends of the floor. Probably a concentration on offense, like most NBA players when they come in. So during that camp and from that time to now, you know, under Brad's tutelage, he's become more of a two-way player. He's way more confident. He's developed more skills. He's, on top of that, more aggressive and knows that he can dominate people. So he's much different coming into this situation than before.
Yeah, the key line there at the end, it was where to go. He's developed more skills. He's on top of that, more aggressive, and he knows he can dominate people. He's much different going into the situation than before. He knows he can dominate people is the key line, because that is the dog that Kendrick Perkins and all these other analysts you hear talk about is, you know, where's the killer instinct? That's something LeBron didn't have early in his career. Jason Tatum didn't really have it in the first few years here in Boston, but now year four, he's starting to really develop that. And it's all from confidence. It's all from hard work. You don't develop that killer, that dog, if you don't have the skills to kind of back up being a killer or a dog. Last cut here from Greg Popovich. Of course, he knows who Ime Udoka is. He hired him after his NBA career, and he made him one of his top assistants. And I believe he was there for the LaMarcus Aldridge era, was a key contributor in terms of making Kawhi Leonard his development and making him a perennial all-pro player. Aldridge absolutely credited him in terms of his transition from Portland to San Antonio. Ime Udoka, that is. Here's Greg Popovich, San Antonio Spurs head coach, and of course the head coach for Team USA, on now his assistant, Ime Udoka.
And the second question is just your thoughts on Ime Udoka getting the head coaching job in Boston.
You know, I couldn't be more thrilled. The guy is a stalwart. People overemphasize O's and X's in the league. All the coaches know their O's and X's. Everybody, you know, it's basketball. It's not, you know, analytical geometry or something like that. That stuff's not tough. But to understand how to get the most out of people, to develop relationships with players, to make people accountable and make them want to play for you are really the keys. And he's got all that. He's really a gifted communicator, although with him, less is more. He's not a talker, and he's a communicator. And more than anything, he's genuine. And you know exactly what you're getting. And I'm sure that's what Brad Stevens felt when he interviewed him for the first time.
Yeah, and I'm sure Brad Stevens, one of the calls he made in the coaching search process was to Ime Udoka's former boss and Greg Popovich, the guy you just heard. I'm sure Stevens called Pop and asked him, like, what do you think about this guy? How do you think he would perform as the leader, the guy in the Boston Celtics locker room and leading the group of men? How do you think it would happen? And I'm sure, I'm absolutely 100% sure that Pop gave him a raving review, which gave the confidence to Brad to hire Udoka. I have a pretty good lengthy conversation with John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, about 18, 19 minutes or so. That is up next on WEI Late Night.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's better over here. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The WEEI Sports Radio Network. You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Tyler Devin back on WEEI Late Night here until midnight. My conversation with John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, about 30 seconds away. Want to get to some text line. Text 37937. Erod can't pitch past 5. Let's send him down. Give someone else a chance. He's an auto loss. That is an awful text. His BABIP, which is the batting average of balls in play, was 412 today. 412 is an absurd BABIP, which is a sabermetric, which basically describes if balls are put in play, what is the batting average, and it was at 412. The league average is 300, so he's due for a regression in that in his favor. So it was a ridiculous amount of soft dinkers that were hit for like 50 miles an hour off the bat. Like the first 5 hits were garbage hits off Erod today, so that's a bad text. Some other ones. Why are you crapping on Brown so much? Beal's a good player on a bad team. He's decent, but Tatum is not God's gift to man. Get off his junk. Brown shoots and finishes better at the rim, and he doesn't dribble for 20 seconds off the clock at the time. So this Brad Beal, good player on a bad team stuff is garbage to me, because just look at his shooting numbers. His career shooting 45%, 37 from 3, 50% from 2-point range. Last year he shot 35% from 3. Not ideal, but he is not a bad or good player on a bad team. His efficiency numbers are too high to get into that. I want to get to my conversation with John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, on Twitter at @RedsArmy_John. He's actually in the Odyssey family with his podcast, the Locked On Celtics podcast. And my first question to him was about Chris Mannix, who said in a recent podcast appearance with Bill Simmons that he unequivocally absolutely believes that the OKC leader, Sam Presti, who leads the basketball operations with the Thunder, would have taken the Celtics president of basketball ops job. But of course, as we know it, an interview never materialized with the hometown guy, Sam Presti. So I asked John Corrales in the first question, what did you make of the lack of search process and the belief from Chris Mannix that Presti would have loved to have come home and run the Celtics?
Well, I mean, I've been critical of the Celtics for not holding a formal search process, even though Brad Stevens was their top choice, and obviously because he got the job. But even so, you still gain a lot by having an actual search for, you know, maybe somebody that you like better. You can say, we like Brad, but you never know who's going to be out there. You never know if somebody like Sam Presti might be available. And even so, they might still say, we're okay with Brad. But you also have an opportunity to scan the landscape, interview a bunch of people for a position. And even if Brad Stevens gets the job and wants to reorganize the front office, you have a list of candidates here that are potentially, you know, can fill that spot. And also you have guys that you can lean on if Brad says in a couple of years, you know what, I really do miss coaching. I want to get back out there. So I just think it put the Celtics behind, and it's a I like I said, I was critical of that, but at the same time, like, I love Sam Presti. I think he does a great job there. But if they feel Brad Stevens is going to do the same job, just as good a job, then that's their prerogative.
John Corrales joining me here on WEEI Late Night. The first move, John, that of course Brad Stevens made was the Al Horford trade. Also brought back Moses Brown. You add those two guys to a roster that also has Tristan Thompson and, of course, the Time Lord. How do you see the big man rotation shaking out here in the fall? And would they actually carry all 4 big men on the roster going into next season?
Yeah, I don't think they can. I don't think they should. To carry that much of a financial investment in your center spot in 2021-22 is almost, malfeasance. That you cannot have that much of your money tied up in the center spot. So they're talking a big game about Tristan Thompson. I think it should still be one of their priorities this summer. to move Tristan Thompson and either move him as a complete salary clearing guy or move him in exchange for a reclamation project somewhere, a guy in the last year of his deal that's fallen out of favor on another team that maybe can come over to Boston. You, if you're going to spend that money for 1 year, maybe you spend it in a different position and you say, fine, we'll give this guy a chance at a different spot, a power forward or a swing spot where you could say at least that money's being spent in a way where we feel good about it. And if that doesn't work out, you can always jettison that player by the trade deadline. But I think it just makes total sense from a roster perspective to trade Tristan Thompson.
So you mentioned that Thompson could obviously be the odd man out, but how long is the future for Al Horford? Because, of course, this year is a fully guaranteed contract, I believe $27 million, but next season would only be dropped down to $14 million, if I'm not mistaken here. How long do you think Al Horford's future is here in Boston? Is he a long-term piece?
Well, long-term, I don't think so. But, I mean, look, you got 2 years of him that I don't think they brought him in just to waive him next year. A lot of people want to bring up that guarantee. Oh, I only $14 million guarantee. You're not going to bring him in and then waive him next season and have $14 million of dead money on the books, or waive and stretch and have that would probably work out to be like $4 million in dead money on the books for the next 3 years. That doesn't make any sense because that can push you deeper into a tax and that can end up becoming more expensive. So I think Horford is here for the 2 years. Unless he gets traded in another deal, maybe next summer, whatever pops up. But I think he's here for the 2 years. Then his salary comes off, and maybe they can clear some cap space and make a signing. And then by then, you could even do something like renounce his rights, but bring him back as, you know, use your mid-level exception or your taxpayer mid-level, because at that point, he should only be making about $5 million or whatever. And then you bring him back as a third center kind of veteran presence in the locker room. I can see that for another year or two, but I think under this contract, he's here for the 2 years.
John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal. John, I actually wanted the Celtics to consider adding Kenny Atkinson, either as a head coach or maybe as the lead assistant. We found out tonight the former Nets head coach is going to the Golden State Warriors. They are reportedly making him the lead assistant under Steve Kerr. But do you see Udoka adding a former head coach to his staff? And I guess what value would that bring in making that type of move?
I think he should. I think just having a guy with that kind of experience would be very advantageous, just because that kind of experience isn't just game, you know, game time stuff. It's the practice prep and structuring practices and the obligations that, you know, you don't realize maybe some of the things that the head coach, or, you know, all of the head coach has to do. But he's been around. Udoka has been around for, you know, he's been on Greg Popovich's staff. He's been on Brett Brown's staff, Steve Nash's staff. He's seen a lot. So he probably thinks he has a good feel for it, and he has said he doesn't think he needs to. But I still think a guy, even like a Lloyd Pierce or anybody that I feel would have an inside line on an actual head coaching position somewhere else. So you know you're only going to get him for a year or two, but just to have that sage advice, you know, just around, just to kind of see, be like, you know, I saw this before, you know, maybe you should consider this. The inexperience can be costly, and as confident as Udoka might be, and as great a staff as he may assemble, I think just somebody with the experience can help him a little bit. However, I will also give you this. Brad Stevens is around. He's done this for a while. He can also be that guy. So this is a unique situation. He might decide to say, hey, I don't need the head coach on my staff because Brad can, you know, his office is up the hall from me. I can pop in there and ask him that type of advice without having it on my bench.
You mentioned the name Greg Popovich. I was actually just listening to his comments about Jason Tatum from yesterday. Of course, everyone's assembled out in Las Vegas, and everyone knows that Brad Beal and Tatum are boys, and they're now playing on the same court together, practicing together. But specifically with Tatum and him preparing for the upcoming Olympics, John, how valuable is this experience for him as a guy, as a player, and potentially as a recruiter, with the future of many of the stars on Team USA kind of being unclear?
Yeah, I think that the recruiting part is a huge thing, because obviously you get to see a lot of these guys get to see what the new Tatum is like up close. But also, Udoka's out there too. You know, he's one of the development coaches on that staff. So he's in those practices. He gets to see everything, and he gets to talk to these guys as well. So they're both kind of out there recruiting. I think this is a great opportunity for Jason Tatum on both sides of this. It's a great developmental thing for him because he gets to go back with Pop, and he said some very nice things when I asked him about Greg Popovich today, basically saying that to have one of the best coaches ever believe in me and have confidence in me gave me a ton of confidence. And then to go in there now, 2 years later, I compared it to Luke Skywalker going back to see Yoda in Return of the Jedi. It's like, you know, I'm back. I've got my full Jedi powers. What do you think? You know? So that'll be an interesting kind of thing there. But he also, like, he doesn't need to be in Vegas to recruit Bradley Beal. I mean, they grew up in the same neighborhood, so they're going to talk. But hey, being out there, his relationship that's being built with Udoka, guys seeing how Udoka is coaching all of the players there, realizing that he's a head coach now, and seeing, probably keeping an eye on, like, all right, I see what you're doing. I kind of like what you're doing. I like how you and Tatum are kind of interacting right now. All of that stuff's important. Guys see everything, and there are plenty of guys out there that have decisions to make. So you never know, man. You never know. These international competitions always have some sort of kind of weird kind of vibes going on.
John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal. John, a few weeks ago, the new head coach, Ime Udoka, was talking about Marcus Smart and, I guess, his fearlessness when he was playing with Team USA, of course, alongside Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Kemba Walker, and that he wasn't afraid to go up against those big stars. Now Smart's entering the upcoming season with an expiring deal. Do you get the sense that an extension is coming? And, I guess, if they give him that 4 years, $77 million that's being rumored, would that be a mistake?
Well, look, I'm very pro Marcus Smart. I think that this could be a really good season for him. I think the one thing that he's been missing throughout all of his time here is a consistent starting role. And so people pigeonhole him and they say, well, he's a bench guy. I think that consistently making him your starting point guard will work. And for the people who think that that's just going to make him shoot more, I actually think it's going to make him shoot a little less or change his shot profile. Because starting the ball with in his hands, he comes up and he sees Tatum and Brown and those guys working, and Horford and Fournier and all of these guys that should get the ball. And so he knows he's going to come up and he's going to give up the ball right away. And then he goes off and, you know, participates in the play. And then when he gets it back, he's generally going to be in a catch-and-shoot type of scenario, or maybe get it on the move and drive and draw a foul or something like that. So I think consistently being the team's starting point guard gets him into a spot where he's going to be more consistently acceptable as an offensive player, and obviously he's going to be a great defensive player. Now, does that earn him the extension? Maybe, but I think the Celtics have some weird financial waters to kind of navigate here, where they're trying to figure out how much cap space can they create. Do they want to move Tatum in a deal for a bigger star? Are they going to try to move him now? I think they want to keep him around, and if he can be thrown into a deal for a Bradley Beal, let's say, then his salary is going to be very necessary to match that kind of deal. So they may want to keep him and give him a contract extension that matches that. Or, I will say, financially, collective bargaining agreement-wise, they may say to him, look, we want to do it, but we want to wait till next summer because of all of the weird moving pieces. We want to do it, but let's wait. And really what that would be is, because if you give him an extension now, when you trade him, it changes the value of his contract when it comes to salary matching. It makes him what's known as a poison pill contract. And what he becomes is the average value of the deal versus the actual monetary value of the deal. So if they wait and they do it next year, then he can be moved that way. Weird collective bargaining agreement stuff. So all of that is to say that hard to determine when Smart will get an extension if he does.
John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, final few minutes with him here on WEI Late Night. I read on the Boston Sports Journal, your outlet, of course, that you are against a trade for Damian Lillard. What is your argument against bringing Dame time to Boston?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's going to cost Jaylen Brown. So, like, number one, you got Jaylen Brown, 24-year-old up-and-coming star, and Damian Lillard is a 31-year-old, you know, smaller point guard. And as great as he is, and he's great, he's a superstar player, I don't know how much longer he has at that level. And if you are trading for Damian Lillard, you have to believe that this Celtics team is going to win a championship in the next couple of years. Because if they don't, and then Lillard turns 33, and all of a sudden there's not as much burst, and he can't play the same game, then what do you have? You've got no Jaylen Brown. You've got Tatum with a couple of years left on his deal. You've got a team that might be going nowhere. You've given up a ton of draft picks, so you can't restock the team with your own draft picks, and you're probably going to end up being bad, which is going to make Portland good. And I think the worst-case scenario is really, really, really bad. Obviously, if you believe it's a championship move, then great. Then you do it, and you win a championship, and that's it. You bask in the championship glory. Then it doesn't matter. But I think it does matter, and I don't think that it makes the Celtics a contender just by making that move. And it takes away two stars that you can absolutely build around. And I'm so anti-trading Jaylen Brown in that deal. I think Jaylen can be not quite Damian Lillard, but really good. And I just don't think, when we look at the totality of the trade over the course of the next 5 years, that people are going to like where that goes.
Now, you mentioned roster construction. That would be super hard if you acquired Damian Lillard's contract, but the Brad Beal one is more attractive. Would you pull the trigger on a Jaylen Brown for a Brad Beal basis move?
That's a much tougher discussion. Again, like, Beal is a tremendous scorer, one of the best scorers in the league, maybe the best scorer in the league, depending on who you talk to. And, you know, he's a guy who can go out there and average 30 for you. That changes the dynamic a lot. But Jaylen Brown averaged 26, or 24, I should say.
And played elite defense, too.
And played, yes. And so that's not to say that Beal won't come in and play some defense, because he's capable of playing defense. It's just, you know, he's tailed off because it's the Washington Wizards. And why are you going to, you know, bust your butt playing defense for the Wizards? So that is, it's kind of, I don't want to say it's an even swap, but it's a pretty close, you know, to get Jaylen Brown, who's a couple years younger, actually 4 years younger, would be a huge coup for the Wizards. So again, I like to keep the guys that are here. This is why I'd be a terrible GM. I like who's here. I see the promise in the guys who are here. Now, if you can get Bradley Beal without giving up Jaylen Brown, then that's a different story. If Bradley Beal says, here's my list of teams, I demand a trade, here's my list of teams, and it's Boston and three teams that absolutely don't have the assets to make a deal, and you ruin the leverage there, then maybe a Marcus Smart center deal with a bunch of young guys and a bunch of draft picks could be the way to go. And now that is a no-brainer. So if the Celtics fans are wondering if you can get Bradley Beal, that's the scenario I'd be looking for.
Final two questions here for John Corrales, and I appreciate your time tonight, Boston Sports Journal. There are many fans and, of course, radio hosts here at WEI who do not like Romeo Langford's game. I have to admit, I am a Hoosier, and I am biased. I actually do see a pretty prominent role for him, maybe in that top eight rotation coming up this fall, but what do you see? Am I crazy to actually believe that he could have a big role on this upcoming Celtics team?
No, I don't think it's out of the question that he can have a role this upcoming season. And we don't know, because he hasn't done anything. But for the people who say, oh, he's always injured, he did not suffer a new injury this past season. I have to make that clear. He did not get hurt again this past season. All he did was recover from the wrist surgery that was on his shooting hand, and then get COVID. That's what happened. He spent a couple days in the concussion protocol, but that's a minor thing. He did not suffer a new injury this year. So this notion that, like, oh, he's always hurt, that's not really necessarily true. He kind of got screwed over by the short turnaround that should have brought him back at the beginning of the season rather than more than halfway through the season. I think that this is the first time he's going to have a full off season, a theoretically healthy off season. I think he has the talent. He's got the drive and the desire to go out there and be a good basketball player. You've seen it. He was Mr. Indiana? Like, he's had the skills. He's got the skills, and he's got the defensive effort that you hadn't seen prior to the NBA. I think he can do something valuable for this team next year. Now, not like third star valuable, more like seventh man valuable, but that's still really valuable, because if he can be a versatile, switchy defender who, depending on how he fixes his shot, if he can at least start to show, like, okay, that jump shot is falling, that corner three-pointer is going to start falling, if he can get that, then he'll be very valuable.
Final question here for John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal. John, who is Jan Madar? Am I saying his name correctly, I guess?
Yeah,
and
Jan Madar.
Does he have a future here with the Celtics this fall? Like, why should people know his name?
Yeah, Jan Madar was their second-round pick last season, and he was a draft and stash. He's been playing in Israel. Had a good season. A taller point guard that has, you know, shown some kind of glimmer of promise, right? So there's a lot to kind of, when you look at him and you look at some of the results and you watch him play, you say, oh, okay, you know, I can see something there. The only thing I would say is that, you know, we got to caution, he's young. He still has to fill out. And the competition in Israel is just not NBA level competition. So success there doesn't necessarily mean success in the NBA. So we're going to see him, I think, in summer league. We'll get a glance. And if it's not time to bring him over, then he goes back and he plays overseas. The Celtics still hold his rights. But he's an interesting guy to watch that could be a potential point guard of the future for the Celtics. If not a starting point guard, then at least a backup point guard with some size that can shoot.
That is John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal. We can read his fine work there or on Twitter at @RedsArmy_John. And of course, find the podcast, the Locked On Celtics podcast, on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcast. John, I appreciate the time. Thanks for joining me here on WEI Late Night. I appreciate it, man.
My pleasure.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
That is right, less than 2 minutes here on the WEI Late Night program. My name is Tyler Devitt. I'm back tomorrow and Friday night in this time slot, 10 p.m. to midnight, throwing hot takes around, pissing people off, and we can take your communication throughout the show at 37937 on the text line or at 617-779-7937. No time for calls or texts tonight because we only have about a minute left. Did you see this tweet from, it was The Athletic? Over the last 10 months, Tampa Bay sports have been to four major pro sports championships and have won three of them. The Lightning, 2020 Stanley Cup champions. They won it again tonight, back-to-back. The Rays were like just a handful of outs away from winning the 2020 World Series. They obviously appeared in that and did not win it. Randy Arozarena was awesome in that series. And the Bucks and Tom Brady, of course, won it last year, and they should be the favorites, although they are not in Vegas, to run it back this year. I think the Chiefs are the favorites. There was a tweet from the Stanley Cup, at Stanley Cup on Twitter, with a blue check mark. FYI, I'm too heavy to throw at Tom Brady. And then another tweet, and catch at Rob Gronkowski. Brian DeFelice, you're a puckhead. Where would you put the Bruins in terms of the 2022 Stanley Cup odds? Would you put them top 5, top 7, top 10 in their odds for next year? How would you have them?
Top 10 for sure. Yeah, I'd have to see how the offseason shakes up before I go any further than that.
They're number 5, 14-1. Avalanche, Knights, Lightning, Hurricanes, and the Boston Bruins tie with the Maple Leafs at 14-1. That seems pretty damn high to me, but who knows? So I'm Tyler Devitt here until midnight, which means I have like 30 seconds left until I hit the post here. I'm back tomorrow night, 10 to midnight. See you. Have a good night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.